It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And we have a special guest in the studio today. Today, we're talking about technology. So, Steven's terrified.
I'm a little terrified.
Yeah. So, we have... I'm going to call you Technology Maven.
Why not?
Wow, you just got a nickname. Yeah. I've been on this show like 36 times and I don't have a nickname.
You're my co-host.
That's the nickname, co-host?
That's like a title.
All right, I'll
How
take
about
it.
It's vice like, president.
Yeah, it's like being vice president.
I'm always the vice president. When am I ever going to be the president?
When you start your own podcast and I'm your co-host.
Okay, you can be bridesmaid of Caffeinated Comics.
How about that? I'm the bridesmaid
yes.
of Caffeinated,
Caffeinated Comics bridesmaid. But Elaine Chen is here.
Yes. Hello.
Now, Elaine...
Fresh from New York.
From New York. Oh,
yes,
New Yorkers
true.
In the room.
I know, you are way outnumbered. You're kind of a New Yorker in spirit, though. You don't like people.
I don't like people.
You're very impatient.
I do like New York City. I've been there a few times.
Yes.
My brother went to NYU.
Yep.
Very cool.
You do well in New York. I think that's why we get along.
Probably.
Because I'm still very... I didn't realize how New York I was till I left.
You are so New York.
I know.
Once you leave, then you know.
You're not even
New York, you're Queens.
Yeah, I found that from the frosty reception I've gotten from some Midwesterners.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, that guy should die.
It's like, wow, how do you really feel,
Jim? Like, we're at a barbecue drinking beer.
You call that folded thing a pizza?
But every time we talk about technology, Steven gets very nervous.
Yeah, it's, I love the idea of, like, advancing civilization. But unfortunately, I feel that, like...
We have to do that through technology.
Yeah. Well, no, we're advancing technology, but we're not advancing, like, ethics or something. Like, you know what? People aren't, like, progressing themselves. So it's like we have all this crazy technology, but it's like we're still acting like a bunch of ass clowns. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, where it's like if we were cool as we were making technology, I'd be fine with it. But it's like we invent the atomic bomb, and then it's like we want to invade Vietnam. And it's like, what are we doing? Do you know?
Because we got it. What are we going to do with it?
Well, that's the thing.
We need to throw it at somebody.
And that technology enables people to be jerks more, right?
Like,
it's way too hard to Xerox a whole bunch of pages of a comic book and send them to your friends. But if you're like, I can just save this file and email it to them, you're like, I guess I'll do that instead of buying it, right? Yeah, so that's gonna happen too.
Yeah, I think like it's just like everyone gets in fights on the internet, and it's the internet is supposed to be like the biggest, awesomest thing we've ever done, where it's like
this commune of the world.
Yeah, it's like all the information,
curing cancer and sharing cat videos.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like all the sum total of human knowledge is on for free online, and we fucking it's cat jokes.
Well, people love cats.
Yeah, but...
Cats make people happy. My cats come in the studio, and everything stops.
Everyone says, look at the cat.
Well, look at that cat. What's he doing? He's like, what do you want?
But also, if it were only cat videos, it's also, like, Farrah's backdoor teen mom, right? I mean, there's a lot of really not very cool things on the
That's
internet.
That's true. We were talking about that last night, about, like, when we were growing up, how hard it was to find porn. You had to get that one brave friend to go to the newsstand, not make eye contact, and throw money at him. And then he would tear the pages up, and everybody would go to a separate bathroom.
And now it's harder to not see porn than it is to see it.
No, right now...
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right now, Wi-Fi signals are just flying through the air. Full of porn.
Yeah.
All you basically have to do is take your phone and scoop out some porn.
Yeah. Right.
And go, look at that.
Look at all this porn.
This is what technology has done for us.
Yeah.
Create a world where we were inhaling porn at all given times.
And now I don't know much about technology.
I wish porn was like helium, where your voice would get squeaky and be like, oh, there's porn in this
room. Porn in the air. But now, I don't know much about this. I read this, that we have like signals that go out from the planet, and the strongest signal that first like got free of Earth was Hitler's speech during the Olympics.
Oh dear.
And that's the first thing anyone out there is going to hear with like antennas and stuff.
That's not good.
Now I don't know.
First of all, it's German, which just sounds aggressive.
No matter what. It sounds angry.
You could transcribe Shakespeare's love sonnets in German and people would tell you to stop.
Yeah. They'd be like, you are an aggressive person.
It's
and
like,
I don't like it.
Stop grunting at me. I don't like it.
Yeah. It's like singing in Klingon.
Right. But now does like internet waves, do those go out into space? Does anyone know?
I don't know. The satellites. Because the Wi-Fi won't reach my backyard.
Yeah, so it's certainly not going to reach like the Andromeda galaxy.
Yeah, if I go out on my deck, I am not Facebooking anybody.
Right.
But think about, like, satellite signals are probably used to send, like, for example, cable TV. The, you know, obviously there's a lot of satellite TV, and that sends internet.
Yeah, those are already outside the Earth.
Yeah, so then there is a lot of porn out in the galaxy then. That's what a lot of porn. Because it's just like, I'm just thinking, like, aliens are going to see this, and just then maybe they don't know what it is. And if
they
do, then
it's kind
of depraved.
Well, they won't have the taboos, and they'll just be like, well, apparently humans just do all this all the time. And then they'll come down and just try to do it immediately.
Yeah, they'll think that that's
the
way you
assimilate.
No, you know what? They'll show up like the plumbers do.
Show up naked.
Like, I'm here to fix your pipes. And then it's like, dun, 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 dun. And it's like porno music starts.
It's like speakers come out of the alien spaceship. Yeah. And then you start stripping.
It's like, whoa, hold on, man. Buy me dinner first.
I'm picturing, take me to meet your leader. And then they're like in the White House taking their pants off. And it's just like, dude, we just met. What is going on?
They're like, is this how it
works? Like, this is what you do. I'm trying to fit in. Yeah. It's like, well, this might be what you do on your planet. No, it's what you do on your planet.
Yeah.
We don't do this at all. We had to invent this our genitals out of clay to try to fit in. Because we were like, we
don't have those pieces.
We don't have those pieces to do that. See, this is what I mean by we go off topic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was my fault.
Because Elaine was like, what kind of questions are you going to ask? I'm like, I don't know. But you know what? Elaine and I worked together in advertising, and Elaine was part of the internet bubble, which was so big at one time, they shot money at her.
Yes. Wait, literally.
Wait, what?
So I had gone to, at the time, everybody who was ever launching a new product had these incredibly lavish events where there was like sushi and there were like champagne fountains and all kinds of things going on. And this one particular one, the PR people were friends with us. So they were like, oh, you need to stand near the front when they're giving the product presentation. Just stand near the front and pay attention. And so basically they talked about how they had these new printers and they have color and they have this and they have that and then they have value. And then they shot money out of cannons at all of these journalists.
What?
And reviewers, and we all immediately dropped to the floor on our hands and knees and were crawling around picking up money.
Wow.
And I was like wearing a skirt, so I wasn't willing to actually crawl on the ground, so I only got some like ones and fives. But like, I was there with some guy who ended up becoming my friend Joni's boss and was like a very aggressive person, and he had found a 20 and he was so happy.
I would be too. I found a 20 in my lawn one time and I'm still talking about it. That was like 4 years ago. You had people shoot it out of a cannon at
I'm
you.
I'm telling you, nowadays they'd only shoot change and it would like hurt you.
Yeah,
you'd
I was
like,
gonna say, that'd be violent.
My favorite thing about that story is when Elaine said they shot money at you, went, what? And she told you the entire story and you went, what?
Yeah.
That's the exact same.
What I'm trying to understand is like, what?
Does not compute.
What on earth was, what year was this?
Late 90s?
What was happening in the late 90s that they were like, Clinton? We have so much money, we're going to fire it out of a cannon.
This is why I don't understand why people didn't like Clinton. They were shooting money at people's faces when Clinton was president.
You know what? I was like,
and then Bush is like, I'll give everybody $300, and it bankrupted us.
Yeah. It's sad.
I didn't get any money. You know what? I was in like 7th grade when you were getting money shot out of your candy. You know what I was doing in 7th grade? I was getting beaten up in science class for liking Spider-Man.
I was going bankrupt trying to break into comics, which were collapsing at the same time the first internet bubble happened.
That's true.
Yeah, you missed out on that bubble.
I was pitching to Marvel and DC who were firing people.
Yeah.
I was at Ogilvy, which was my next job, after we worked together. And down the hall from me was D.G. Chichester, who wrote Daredevil when Scott McDaniel was writing.
Wow.
Really?
And he was working on IBM.
That is so sad.
That was like, it was like a few years after, I kept trying to break in.
Yeah.
And you were in the same place.
He was
end.
There. Yeah, he was there and went, nope. And we were in the same hallway.
Yeah.
That was how bad comics crashed until really the movies.
Yeah. Now, like, what this seems like there was a bubble too, the comic thing.
Well, you know, it was the 90s.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying is like, was it like the 90s just like a bubbly time where all these like different things are happening? How come they don't talk about bubbles anymore?
I think
well, there was still
the
real estate bubble in the 2000s, right?
Right, and that's what killed everybody.
Yeah, that's what was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
That's why, never mind, I was going to say.
My house just lost a ton of money, and I was happy because that meant my monthly payment went down.
I was going to say that.
Renee's not happy, and I'm like, I'm like the amount that this house dropped is the money we already spent. I don't care.
Right.
I was like, but I don't have to pay this much every month.
That's what I was going to say. Is like, you guys aren't going to move. So it's like, awesome. You have a great
can't
house.
Afford to.
Stay in it. The monthly payment, just enjoy it. Enjoy it.
This house could be worth $20 and I'll be fine with that.
Yeah. But now you can still rent it out every night on Airbnb for $25 and still make a profit that way.
Yeah, you just want me to put strangers in the basement.
Wait a minute. What is this?
We were in the basement in the practice room and Elaine goes, oh, you can put people down here.
No, but this is a service somebody
You've offered? Never heard of Airbnb. Oh my God, you do live under a rock.
I totally live. This is why I'm here. So you can explain to maybe the six other people who are listening that don't know what Airbnb is.
No, you're here because you're here every Saturday. Elaine flew in.
That she flew in special for this.
Not for that, no.
Right, so this is a thing where you list your house online and be like, people can stay here?
No, the great thing about Airbnb, so there have been a lot of services where you could rent out your house. And you could even say on Craigslist, oh, hey, I want to rent out my apartment for a month.
Sure.
Airbnb built in all these different, first of all, like ways that you can screen people and stuff like that, and it's set up that if you wanted to, you could rent out the couch in your apartment. Like, wow. So if it's like, I live in New York City, I got a living room, I got a couch, you want to stay here for $20 a night, I need $20.
That's
and
crazy.
You can do that. Yeah.
Because we did, I did a road trip west, like 4 years ago, to Vegas for the women's championship softball thing with a friend of mine, and we did couch surfing. I didn't know this was a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like an online thing. It's the same kind of thing, except it's free.
Yeah.
And it's just like you stay at people's houses. They usually make you like breakfast. Like sometimes they're creeps and sometimes they're awesome.
Well, any bed and breakfast is like that. Sometimes they're creeps.
Yeah.
Sometimes
this is just somebody's home. This would be like me. You don't even know me, and I'm traveling across America, and you're just like, oh yeah, take my couch. Don't eat my cat, you know?
Don't stab me in the night. Right.
So that's a certain kind of person, right? The people who are trying to do it for money or at least a little bit more quality control. Like, they're not going to try and convert you to their weird hippie cult or whatever.
Right.
They're not going to be like, you know, whatever, trying to feel you up while you're asleep or whatever. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And so you can write them a bad review.
See, my brain only goes to stabbing.
Yeah.
That's all I think they're going to do. They're not going to rob me. They're not going to see me up. They're just going to come in and right in the throat.
That's because you're from New York. You know, you grew up in New York when there was like crazy crimes happening.
Sad, like every night when my head hits the pillow, every horror movie I've ever seen goes through my head.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It'll be like Saw. I'll be trapped in this room and I'll have to do something, or else, you know, I'll be disemboweled, or, you know.
Yeah, Freddy will come out of the bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's got knives on every finger. So he's all of them in the throat.
Right in the throat.
Boy, can you imagine the Airbnb who you would have right for guy who's like Freddy Krueger? It's like, yeah, it was really great until the morning when he like stabbed me with his finger knives, and then he didn't even make breakfast like he promised. Plus, his room was not very clean.
I want to go to an Airbnb and see how many addresses say Elm Street.
That'd be horrible.
And then the comments underneath.
So this is, that's like technology.
Yep.
Yeah, Airbnb.
It has enabled all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, it's taken away as much as it's given us. When I first moved to Chicago, I got to work for my New York job for 18 months. Mm. It was heaven.
Yeah.
I would say goodbye to everybody. I'd walk in this room where we record. I was busy. Yeah. Like, I was so busy that I was working at home and I would still eat at my desk.
Yeah.
But it was great. That was like, it was a full year and a half of being productive and doing things. So I feel like, when I was in the 80s growing up, if somebody told you a lie, you had to believe them.
Yeah.
There was no Wikipedia. There was no Google.
You couldn't, like, Google it, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, you know, they were like, you know, in the next Star Trek movie, Spock rides a motorcycle. Yeah. You would believe that for, like, a month.
Yeah.
You'd be like, well, that motorcycle scene, I don't think
that
that's
going to
work.
That guy said it. It had to be true.
he had so much conviction.
Yeah, people are a lot more, like, skeptical now, because it's just, like, anything, and I hear it all the time, somebody coming in the store and be like, oh, this is going to happen in the next Superman movie, and it's like, no, they're not even writing it, and I know that because I read this article online, and it's just like, you're full of shit, man.
So it just makes you more impatient.
It was like my niece was like, oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is totally half Korean. And I'm like, let's Google that right now. That is not true.
Say, there's no way that's true.
No way. I don't have to Google that.
I've seen him.
His name is Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Number one.
It wasn't Joseph Gordon, you know, Chong or something like that.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Sung. Yeah. Right. Did you see yesterday, we were just talking about this, Stephen, did you see that somebody... there was a crash, an airplane crash in China, and somebody leaked to local news, like, fake racist Chinese names, and they read them on the air.
Yeah.
What?
Literally, this has been going around. This is, like, viral right now. Literally, they read on the air. The names of the pilots were Sum Ting Wong, We Too Low, Holy Fuck.
Oh, my God.
Bing
With these crazy
Ow.
Spellings.
And it was still about rogue readers. Again. Those are the names of the four pilots.
Oh my God.
Lost in the... And now they're blaming it on an intern.
Well, that's what interns
Who is
are
fired.
For, I imagine. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so
they're
you
not
don't,
paid to just get
That's what I'm
them.
Saying. It's just, so you don't look stupid. You have interns.
Yes. But that's the kind of thing where you think, with the amount of technology we have available now, when something like that comes in, somebody's going to go, no.
Yeah, let's call first for us before we do this.
Well, think, like, isn't that, like, a big thing they make fun of, like, all these different news networks for? Because, like, nobody, like, facts checks or just, like, this happened, and then it's like, oh,
no, they
nope,
literally
sorry.
Read a tweet, and then they're, like, reporting it on the news. Or, like, bad idea.
And it's just, like, I don't know, it's, like, they don't, like, there's another thing with technology is, like, it's getting better and we're just, like, getting lazier.
But, yeah, because it's so fast that we're just relying on
We're approaching the world of Wall-E. It's going to be real.
We're all going to be Jeff Garland.
I do see that a lot. You'll see something online and somebody'll make a joke, and then it'll be, like, a picture of, I don't know, people doing, like, boring thing or like literally lazy things, and then the next picture is like those fat people from Wall-E in the chairs, and it's like, it's coming, and it's like, oh fuck, they're not kidding.
There's a reason they designed them like that.
Yeah, you know, those people are smart.
But it's interesting, Alain, the way you said it. I am getting all my news from Facebook and Twitter now, and I have to wait until I've heard it four different times. Yeah. It was like when Steve and I were in the shop about 6 months ago. Oh, guy walked in and went, "Disney bought Lucasfilm," and ran out of the store, and we looked at each other, and was like, "Who is that maniac?"
Yeah.
And then immediately we went on Google, and it was there five times. We were like, "Oh, okay, it's true.
It's true." Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is one of those, and I guess that's what news is. If you don't have a trusted source, you have to gather all of it and get an average. Yeah.
And you can get it from your phone as well, right? Like, I remember when Michael Jackson died, I was actually in a shuttle, like, you know, shuttle train going to an airport, and then this woman looks and goes, "Oh my God, Michael Jackson died," and like immediately you pull out your phone, you're like, "Yeah, Michael Jackson died," right?
Yeah, because you're not going to take anybody's word for it, but if they wrote it on the internet.
That's what I'm saying. I'll believe it on the internet, but if somebody says it like that and I'm a train on the way to the airport, I'm like, "Nah, that person, they're crazy people."
Well, they said John Bon Jovi was dead last month.
Yeah, remember when Jeff Goldblum died?
Oh, yeah.
I was off a cliff. I love Jeff Goldblum, and I actually, like, freaked out. I was like, "Oh, my God, my life is empty." And then it's like,
no,
it's
Fly
bullshit.
2!
Yeah, exactly, right? Where's the
I
sequel?
Love you freaking out about Jeff Goldblum. That's
He's, like, my favorite person.
They won't be able to bring him back on that Jurassic Park remake. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're going to do Jurassic Park 4.
I know.
And there was a Fly 2, and they had a scene written for him, but he didn't want to participate in a flashback. So they used video footage that they didn't use in the first movie so he could be in it.
Oh, you really do like Jeff Goldblum.
I'm not kidding, man. He's, like, my favorite actor. Him and Alec Baldwin.
My favorite Jeff Goldblum thing was, there was a show called 10 Speed and Brown Shoe. Does anybody remember this? It was Jeff Goldblum and Ben Vereen as detectives.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember that.
And it was the reason I remember it
was this in the late 70s?
Early 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think the reason I remembered it was the first show I ever saw that was preempted.
Yeah.
And I was like a little kid really into 10 Speed and Brown Shoe. Jeff Goldblum played Brown Shoe.
I was going to say, I was wondering about that. It seems kind of racist to make Ben Vereen be Brown Shoe.
Yeah, Ben Vereen was 10 Speed because he was like the slick con man. Yeah. And Jeff Goldblum was like the bookish detective.
Yeah.
Just the facts, man.
Those are great
that was the
nicknames.
That was the first show where the 1980 Olympics came on. And the announcer said, 10 Speed and Brown Shoe will not be on tonight. And I was like, what?
But the Olympics.
You said it was Sunday night.
I'm a Disney
fan. This is when Peter Brown Show comes on.
I'm the only Sunday person night. In America watching the show.
It's 30 years later. I'm the only one who remembers it.
Yeah, I don't.
Even Jeff Goldblum doesn't remember it anymore.
It's like, what? No, no, no.
Yeah. It's like, no, I was playing jazz piano then. What are you talking about? Yeah.
On the set of 10 Speed and Brown Show.
But so now, exactly. You've got to run home and Google that now. See,
technology allows us.
Maybe we shouldn't turn off our phones.
Maybe not. Yeah, so I don't think I'm horrified of technology. I'm just horrified of what we're going to do with technology. Because we never do, like, the awesome stuff I want to do. Because it's like, you know, let's, like, you know, privatizing NASA. It's like, all right, that should be awesome. But all that means is only rich people are going to go to space now.
Yeah.
That's all that means for me. I'll never go up there.
You might be rich.
I don't think so.
No, that's the American dream. Everyone thinks they're going to be rich. That's why they vote for policies that only help the rich. Because they go, that'll help me
someday.
That's how this country
you know what?
Works.
And my dad never listens to this because I don't think he knows I do this every week.
Because you didn't tell him, maybe?
Well, maybe, because I'm, you know. But he's like all like, oh, these little, when all that like Wall Street stuff is going on. And my dad is so innocent. He's such a nice guy, but he doesn't, he'll be like, well, they're I'm the 1% because I retired with a big sum of money, and it's like the dad,
like 75 grand.
I was gonna say that drop in the bucket of the money you retired with is not like you are. Trust me, dad, you and me are like, you know, we're in completely different tax brackets, but like we are so close in the grand scheme of things.
It's a large continuum with it's like billionaires at the top of it.
That's like, dad, you're not in the 1%. He's like, all those lazy people in Wall Street, those hippies and the commune people just hanging out. And it's like, no, dad, you don't understand. You're one of those people. There are people in your exact
That's why it's 1%. You know, the 1% are the people Tom Cruise looks at and goes, that guy's got a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's who the 1% is.
I read something online because everything you read online is true. Somebody was saying that the richest four people on the planet can eradicate poverty on the planet by themselves.
If they just gave all their money away.
But, yeah. But, it's just like,
but they won't.
But they're these people either inherited the money, which is like, okay, cool, whatever, or they made it themselves, which means like you're that smart, you can make that much money, you can do that again, right? Like you can probably do that again.
No, you know who can do that again? Tony Stark could do that again.
That's it. He's like too many comic books.
He'll get all the other Iron Men to start their own companies, and then he'll just take their money.
There you go.
Even Steve Jobs had trouble. Yeah. Like when Apple fired him.
Oh, yeah.
Apple fired him. It took him a long time to come back, and he had to wait for Apple to fail.
Then
you can't
back.
Just go, yeah, they hired him back. That's when they created the iPod. That's when they turned everything around.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and now it's going to be the iWatch next, right? That's what everyone's saying is coming.
What is an iWatch?
I just want to...
It's not announced yet, but everyone... Apparently, they had released some kind of patent or trademark or something like that in Japan for a watch-type device that's going to be an Apple device.
It's like a Tracy watch.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Or like the Jetsons. You're just gonna do Skype on your watch.
The last watch I wore was a Burger King, like, Jurassic Park watch. You press the button and the thing flips open.
Could you video people with it?
No, you couldn't do anything except press the button and the plastic cap came off to show you the time that never worked.
Then it's not that good.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
It was just a dinosaur.
I think there was a picture of a raptor like profile.
When I was a kid, I had a watch that was a transformer, and you could pop the watch off and it became a robot.
Oh, I always wanted one of those. I'm convinced. My parents would buy me one.
They had it at like the fundraising bazaar for school. It was like a $5 thing.
Yeah.
And it's actually a terrible transformer because it's just a watch with like arms and legs wrapped around it. And then you just pull the arms and legs out, and you're like, oh, now he's a robot.
Now he's a robot.
$5.
Well, you know.
And he had a digital watch, and it told the time.
Well, so did my Jurassic Park watch until it stopped working, and I never could figure out how to switch the fucking thing, right? I've got that watch somewhere.
Was it set to the Mesozoic era? Was it abrupt?
It's a sundial.
It hit meteor time. Yeah. Like, everything stops. I'm waiting for the next iPad. My iPad 1 is just on its last legs. And I keep thinking they're going to do an iPad mini with a Retina screen, and it sounds like they're not.
No, I don't think they are.
So, and like I said, I don't know anything about this. So, like, do iPads constantly, they're just coming out with, like, the next version constantly? Or are they like, all right, we did the iPad, now we're going to do this watch thing, and then we'll do a calculator?
Yeah, but they keep everything in production. Like, everything is, like, the iPad 2, the iPhone
6. And Apple's actually much less so to do that than, say, you look at a Samsung, and at any given time, Samsung has dozens of phones on the market.
Yeah.
And Apple will have one main one that they're promoting, and then they'll sell the last generation as the discount model, but it's actually something that is really starting to be a huge problem with them on the phone side, right? Because not everyone wants an iPhone. Some people want something that's cheaper, some people want something with a bigger screen, somebody wants something that's smaller.
I want my phone to do two things. I want it to text and make phone calls, and that's exactly what I have.
You make phone calls still? Oh my god, how old are you?
On occasion. Now, do you know that you actually, and I don't know that this is true, but I went to AT&T and they told me, you cannot buy a phone. Like, I told the guy I want the dumbest phone possible because I don't know how to, like, check my email.
Well, a phone that doesn't work.
Yeah, I just literally wanted to do those two things, and I'm like, I don't even need a camera. He's like, well, actually, you can't buy a phone without a camera these days. They all have cameras. And I'm like, wait, you know what you mean you don't have a phone without a camera? It's like, I don't need a camera in my phone. I need a phone. That's it.
But you know what? You're one of the only people coming in that's saying,
I don't want a camera.
The camera.
Yeah, right?
Why don't you just have the camera and not use it?
Well, I do. But then I did start using it, and I took all these pictures.
Damn it, they got terrible. Me!
They got me.
That's the thing about technology. Renee's always like that. Whenever there's new technology, I get very excited.
She's like,
we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that.
Yeah.
And Apple's perfect with that because you get the phone, and you're like, when I got the iPhone, all I wanted was to not have a phone in one pocket and my iPod in the other pocket. And I was like, it's a phone with an iPod in it. It's one thing.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't even thinking about texting much or checking my email or checking Facebook or Twitter or taking pictures or any of it. And then once you get it after a couple months and you're used to it, you're like, I have to do this all the time.
Yes.
The iPad was like that. I remember I was working at an agency, and all the digital people were making fun of the iPad when they announced it. They were like, we took the iPhone, we made it really big.
Yeah, or it's a computer without a keyboard. That's lame. Yeah. Who's going to use that?
Yeah, and within a month, everybody had it.
Everyone's got one, yeah. I remember when they first announced...
They're getting out for free.
I guess the iPhone... I was still working at 10th Planet because this was like years ago, and the guy who originally opened all the 10th Planet, John Cavallone, he's like super into technology, and he'll be on the show eventually. He was like showing us like the premiere video that like Jobs came out with all the music in the dark, and he's wearing like the dark sweater and stuff, and he's showing us this, and I didn't know John that well, and I was like, I just wanted to shoot him down. So he's talking about it, and he's like, look, it's a touchscreen.
It's life-changing.
Yeah, he's like, it's revolutionizing, it's a touchscreen, and I'm like, John, they have touchscreens. my ATM is a touchscreen. And it's been around since like the late 80s. And he was just like, he was so mad. So then the next day, he went to our boss, Cal, I think, or maybe it was Paul at the time, I can't remember. And he was like, you gotta keep an eye on your employees. They were sitting around watching videos on YouTube all day. I was like, you motherfucker. Like, you should leave. He stormed into this store. And he was like, you guys gotta see this. They just, the world just changed. And he was like super excited. And then I was just like, I don't know, John. An ATM has a fucking touchscreen. And like, and then he ratted me out to my boss.
You go, like entrapment.
You go, you go against Apple, you will pay the price.
You will. You will. Yeah, you can't, you can't, like, resist this stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's, like, only for so long can you kind of fight against, like you were saying, Renee just doesn't want it. And then it's and just, like, and now she's using it.
Then she borrows mine and I can't get it back. That's, that's how it always happens.
But this is also a known adoption curve for new technology. So there is, first, the enthusiast fan audience, the early adopter.
The guys
be,
who line up outside the Apple store.
Yeah. White guys like you, John, no offense.
I don't line up
at all. No, that's what it is.
Though. But, but they probably look like you, right? And then they said, basically, it's almost all men and a certain percentage of Asians. And then, basically...
Wait, Asians are not men? Well, this is groundbreaking because you're Chinese. Right. So if you're telling me that there are no Asian men, well, this is coming straight from the store. Google that.
Oh my God, I didn't realize this podcast was going to be so controversial.
A bunch of men and Asians.
I think she's describing a population.
And also, yes, and also certainly if you go by Hollywood, yes, there are no Asian men, by the way. So that's actually completely true.
There's the same guy they get for every Asian role that's a dude is Ken Watanabe, whatever. Yeah. He's like Ra's al Ghul. He's just like,
and the guy plays Sulu in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's Harold and Kumar.
Harold and Kumar. Yeah. There's like three guys that play all
those
the Asian
guys
roles.
Are doing well.
You know what? They're just lucky that they actually write male Asian roles in movies because...
But they're always ninjas.
Yeah, they really don't get away from like stereotypes, which this will really quickly become like the Hollywood stereotype podcast, because I think I have a lot to say about this.
That was my problem with Batman Begins, which is why I fell for that twist, and, you know, spoilers of a 9-year-old movie. When Liam Neeson pointed to Ken Watanabe and said, that's Ra's al Ghul, and I love the character Ra's al Ghul, it's like, you made him a fucking ninja. Congratulations, Hollywood. And he had the shaved head and the crazy eyebrows, and he was like, got a messy disease and it will stand out.
Yeah, I wonder how like the directing goes for that. We're like, no, sound more ethnic.
More.
And it's just like,
can we Asian that up?
Yeah, Asian that up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say that a lot of African-American actors and a lot of comics I know, they like get really embarrassed on auditions because they have to play like muggers and drug addicts on like Law and Order.
Yeah.
And it's like, I studied Shakespeare in London and now you're making me sound like this.
It's
like,
it's just got to be like heartbreaking. Yeah.
That was what Hollywood Shuffle was all about. That
and it happens to Latinos and, you know, too, for sure.
Yeah.
You gotta sound more street.
Yeah. If you're not white, you're playing a lot of villains.
Yeah. Which is silly because... white people are the biggest villains on the planet.
Like, white people are writing and directing the movies.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like, what's that old joke about?
History
like,
is recorded by the victors.
Yeah, right. But it's like there's that old joke that like if women knew what men were thinking all the time, they never stop slapping.
Yeah, it's a Larry Miller joke.
And it's like, if we really knew what like rich white guys were thinking, we'd like storm the castle.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's like, what Occupy Wall Street is about. I had a lot of friends that are part of Occupy Wall Street, and I'm like, and when people are saying they were against it, I was like, why are you against?
Yeah, it doesn't. That's what I don't understand, and it's like, I don't, and you know what, I know, like,
we're like, the super rich should be more super rich, you shut up!
Yeah, I just, that's the problem, I think, with, like, the technology is now a tool for them, is, like, of oppression. It's just like, all right, let's keep the money in our pockets and screw over all these hardworking people.
And we'll just keep giving you all these DVD box sets, and you'll be happy, and then you're not gonna, like, complain.
It works, though. It's like, they're just like, the next movie, just churn it out, hope it's not a bomb. And even if it is, who cares? Because I've got a bajillion dollars.
And next week, we got another movie.
Yeah,
I think that is one of the dangers that technology has done, is that it targets and makes demographics so well.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what Elaine and I have done in our careers, is saying, okay, we know that the people that want this product are like this, so only talk to them.
Oh, is that advertising, yeah.
You can live in your bubble, and after a while decide... this is how the entire world works, and not run into anyone who thinks differently, which is why I think they're, not to get too political, this is not a political podcast, but things like the super rich, I think they're living in their super rich bubble, and they're like, why is everybody mad at me?
Yeah.
Because nobody's got
a sense of a baseline reality anymore, because we don't have...
Yeah, there's no broadcast where it's like, everyone's watching the evening news and I see his take. It's like, I see the news that makes sense to me, and during these websites that you go to, you only see the commercials that make sense for you.
That's true,
you might go to CNN and have a completely different experience as a rich person than you might as a poor person, right?
Yeah, so, and you have a very different experience on CNN than you have from Fox News.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, because they're talking to you. And in a way, it's great because when you see an advertisement that appeals to you, you're excited. You're not annoyed by it.
Yeah.
You know, like if when you're watching TV and a Pacific Rim commercial comes on, I think pretty much everybody in this room goes, oh, look, look, Pacific Rim. And you'll pause it and rewind it and show somebody.
Yeah.
That's advertising that is working.
And you can pause television now. Holy shit. Can I just say how awesome that is? Yes. If you told me that 10 years ago when I was a child or whatever,
no,
I would have been like, you're crazy. It's a DVD or a VHS or whatever. And I'd be like, no way. And now it's like, it's happening.
Yeah, Ben doesn't quite understand the rules of it because today he was watching TV and I walked by and he has a commercial and he goes, Daddy, skip this commercial. I'm like, you're watching it right now.
It's live.
I don't want to. Skip it.
Skip
it. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's
caught up. I'm like, you can't live in the future now.
Right. That's the future you're talking about.
Yeah.
You just can't keep forwarding until the next episode of whatever cartoon
you want
to watch.
You want a 40-second time machine that only goes forward.
It's called the Hopper.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a giant DeLorean that
but
takes
I think
you
that's interesting
past his commercial break.
Is kids now, like, they're saying it, like, I don't know if this is true, but, like, kids now are, like, getting so infused with, like, iPhones and all this other stuff that's, like, it's, like, I keep thinking, like, technology is going to start advancing so fast because it's on such, like, a whatever that curve is. I don't know what they call that curve. But it's, like, exponentially growing that it's, like, we won't be able to, like, keep up with it to advance it anymore. Like, it's going to hit a point where it's, like, you're going to need 15 different teams of people working on 15 different components of a machine or something before... And then they all have to put it together instead of, like, now somebody's tinkering in, like, a garage and builds, you know, the Mac computer or whatever. You know what I mean? It's, like, it's going to go too fast to where we won't be able to keep up with it.
Right.
Well, what happens that the innovations that you have then are incredibly lame, right? So it's just sort of, like, standing on the shoulders of giants is easier, but at the same time, instead of creating the first computer, you're like, wow, I'm totally creating a cowbell app for the iPhone, you know?
Oh, and it's yeah.
So people are, first of all, selling out and doing things to make money very quickly instead of really coming up with things that are really going to change society and improve people's lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's going to be something which is a real challenge.
And that's what I've been worrying about since Steve Jobs died, is, like, we haven't seen the next big leap since he's passing. Nobody's really taken up that torch. He really is kind of like the Thomas Edison or like the Tony Stark of our generation. And you're right, technology's moved so fast that if you watch a rerun of Star Trek Next Generation, they're on laptops and walking around with iPads and looking at big screen TVs. We are there, other than the transporters, which took 10 minutes for Ben to explain why transporters don't work. You and I were having that discussion.
We were talking about this,
If you broke up into a million pieces, how exactly will we put you back together again on the other side? How would all those pieces get there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they have the first stage.
Apparently what they
out.
Can do is they can scan you, kill you, and then clone you somewhere else. I don't want that.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I don't
risky.
Feel like that'll be me.
Yeah, that'll be somebody else. It'll be like when the Doctor regenerates.
Yeah.
It's like, we know Matt Smith isn't really David Tennant.
Right.
Yeah. Even though he says,
he is really
I'm
not.
Still the Doctor. Yes. It's like, no.
Because I'm sure that, like, freak clone machine thing of me will be walking around being like, no, I'm Steven. It's like, hey, you're not really Steven because I'm Steven and I'm dead now. I'm a pile of energy or whatever.
Yeah, that's, I can't get past that. It's like, well, I'm just dead. I'm a pile of energy and I'm dead.
A pile of energy on the floor.
For you, I'm still walking around. I don't care about that. I'm dead.
I won't experience any of that. You'll never be on the show again.
I would love that. You
know? It'll be a different John sitting
different
here.
Guy.
And maybe he'll have weird tics and he won't, you know,
It'll be like
smell funny or something.
This is like Philip Dick territory now, right? It's just like, what is memory? What is experience?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like the chameleon puts on Peter Parker's face.
Kind of like that.
I am Peter Parker.
No, you're not.
But I kind of feel that transporters are not really going to be the next innovation of the future, nor is digital entertainment. I think we've kind of tapped out digital media. Where I think it is going to be really interesting is with 3D printers and what that might have.
That's actually, I keep hearing Matt used, or maybe still does, I don't know, works at a place that they do this like 3D printing stuff, and it's like super expensive, but it's like when you can print, and I don't, like I said, I have no idea how this thing works, but I guess you can pretty much, you can make a copy of the machine that's copying.
Yeah.
It's like this crazy. And it's like, you know, that I think is going to be, I didn't even know, I couldn't imagine, like when they were telling me, and Matt's like trying to explain this like 2 or 3 years ago. And I was like, wait, what is it building it out of? And he's like, oh, it's all
plastic.
This like plastic.
Yeah, plastic
stuff.
Beads. And then, so you can't do, like, it's not going to be able to create a computer for you, but it can create, for example, hey, I need this particular size and style washer for this thing that I have that broke.
Yeah.
You can download the design from the internet and print it on your 3D printer instead of having to order it and wait 3 weeks for it to arrive and do this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends that I work with at Art Asylum. They have a company now called Storybox Inc. and they're testing digital printers now. Because
for action figures, you can just imagine. It's like, yeah, and I want to have it look like this, but I want to modify it a little, and I'm willing to paint it myself.
They're now doing 3D sculptures in the computer, and then the printer just sculpts it for them.
Yeah, I think like how big of an innovation was like interchangeable parts, like when they invented interchangeable parts.
Yeah, mass production.
Mass production. That's what this is going to be. Yeah.
But they're looking at one now. They've been posting on Facebook this week. They're looking at a 3D printer that costs $3,000.
Yeah.
And they're testing it out and showing the results, and they're like, yeah, it's a little rough here. We might need to polish this, but it's working.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, I think that's a good point. I completely forgot about that. It'll be the next big, you know, that we can actually see coming down the pipe where you're just like, yeah, you literally see like, oh, I want to, you know, Batman figure that looks like this, and then you go Google it or whatever, and you look it up, and then it's like there it is, and you just download it through your printer.
And and people
new action figure for Ben or you would play with. You know?
Can imagine how many designers are gonna just design things in the computer and then put it on BitTorrent or put it on a message board.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, make my you guys can make my figure for free.
Yeah.
You know, it's right at that replicator stage of like, you know.
Yeah, and it's plastic now. But, like, you know, eventually at some point they'll be doing alloys or something. You know what I mean? It's only a matter of time. You know, it's got to start somewhere.
You know, they give yourself a new car hood or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, if you could figure out a way to put protein tanks in it, you can make food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and they're talking about doing that too, right? With meat, you know, with just like growing meat out of cells rather than actually, you know, having them be animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about that too. It's like, it's, you know, kind of like to solve the food crisis or whatever. Like, even like cloning and stuff where they. I read online.
Where we make people and eat them?
Well, I don't think we're going to eat other people. But it's like, you know, you can clone.
They're
like,
not people, they're clones.
And
they're
just Silent Green, I swear. Yeah.
And they're delicious.
They just taste like funny broccoli. But it's like they did clone a mouse out of like one drop of blood from a mouse tail.
Yeah.
And it's a complete mouse and does
all
this stuff.
They put a human ear on a mouse.
Yeah, that wasn't cute.
Yeah,
that's kind of
no, it wasn't cute at all.
No, that sounds
horrifying. And you know what? That mouse heard every nasty thing we said about it. Like, what an ugly mouse. Oh, I have 3 years and once you get
I was born this way.
Exactly. It's not my fault.
But I think it's just like the same thing where it's like, oh, you've got lung cancer. It's like, okay, well, we're going to do some scrapings and we'll, you know, 6 months later, we're going to grow you a new lung and then, you know, install that and you're good to go. And it's
install that lung.
Well, like computers. You know, I'm going along with the technology. Theme we've got going here.
It's extremists.
It's extremists. Yeah, but and then like I said, I think it'll happen eventually, like this medical breakthrough, but only the super rich are going to be able to afford like new hearts and shit.
It'll be just like Elysium.
Yeah, it's just like that movie. That's what I really think is happening, is like we'll get closer and closer to like this big divide because
to rich people having a really awesome life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what they say.
Yay, rich people.
After all that like Wall Street stuff. They said that the divide between the 100% or the 1% and the 9% is greater now.
Yeah.
Since then, and that the richest rich people got richer and the poor people got poorer after all that stuff we like went through. And it's just like
I just read a study that said that productivity has gone up 80% and wages when you adjust for inflation have not gone up at all.
Yeah.
So it's we're doing so and I
do more with less, that's what they keep saying.
That and that was a big thing when computers came in.
Automation.
None of us are old enough in advertising to remember the Mad Men days, but apparently back then the reason you went to 3 martini lunches was to entertain clients, but also when you came up with an ad, you sent it to the art department, they would come back 3 days later with something hand drawn, and then you go, nope. And then they go away for two days later, and then they would hand draw it.
Yeah.
So in the late 80s, and people we have talked to that have been around, the late 80s, the computers started coming in, and they said, this is amazing. You're going to do an ad in an hour. You don't have to wait so long. And then all of a sudden, that art director who was doing 2 ads a week is now doing 30.
Yeah.
And that's where the productivity is. But they always sell it as your life is going to be so much easier. Remember all that time you spent? And technology advertising, that's all you're ever selling is. Remember all that time you spent dealing with this old computer?
Yeah.
This new computer is going to be faster and easier, and you'll be less stressed out.
Except you're
and
doing
then immediately you're,
30 times as much work.
The computer is doing my job. I don't like this.
And the two guys next to you got laid off because you're doing their job, and they're saying you might be next.
Well, that's the thing. I just read, so it's like a algorithm online, and it's like how to know if your job will be replaced by computers. And it walks you through, are you using manual labor? Are you driving a vehicle? Like all these different things. And it's like, it's just like, think about it. It's like, unless you're doing something so particular that only like a human can do for now, it's just like you're fine. But if you're doing something that's repetitive or that's manual, it's like it's at some point you'll just be phased out. You know, it's like you really need to find like a creative thing like advertising where it's like you're writing or you're coming up with concepts to sell that the computers can't figure out how to do that yet. So you guys are fine, but like guys digging ditches or, you know what I mean, it's just like there are jobs that are just gonna like poof, they're gone because it's like a computer can do it.
But then again, they're also creating jobs because there's so many guys in IT now.
Yeah.
That job didn't exist before.
But IT can be outsourced too easily. So at least like service jobs, like, you know, if you're a waiter, you can't outsource being a waiter to some guy in India.
I want a robot waiter.
We'll get there.
Would you like another root beer and rum?
That's what I freaked. This is the dark side of technology. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing I'm probably most scared of is, and I don't know why they're fucking around with this over in Japan, but it's like Japan invented this exoskeleton that's supposed to help people who
just like Alien.
Seriously, is it like Alien or Iron Man? It's like an alien. It's like,
well, no, it's
like
a Sigourney Weaver suit.
Okay,
but it's like it's to help people who are doing like physical therapy and stuff. But then it augments strength, so you can lift like 30 times what a human can.
That's exactly what they had, and actually they had that in
Avatar
too, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Avatar was basically aliens with more CG in it.
Yeah, it's literally like the exact same designs for those ships and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they named the fucking company Skynet.
Wow.
Am I serious? Oh, you are asking for the Robocalypse when you fucking are inventing exoskeleton robot suits, and then you name it Skynet. And they're already working on, they've got those weird robots that are like people that like you can yell at them and they feel sad. It's like, why are you teaching a robot how to feel, and then you yell at it like it's starting.
That's abusive.
Like, right now. Seriously,
I hope all that robot.
I created something to abuse that would make me feel powerful. That's horrible.
Seriously, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't know if it's accurate. It's probably not, but in my head now it is. Is that? That's the only emotion we've cracked so far. It's like, he can't feel happy or a sense of accomplishment or fulfilled. All he can feel is sad, so let's just keep pushing that button.
And I think that says something about society.
You know what that creates? C-3PO.
That's what I'm saying.
He's like so eager to please, so easily wounded.
And they just take dumps on him.
Hey, it's great. I no longer have to abuse my wife. I can just abuse the robot. This is so much easier.
And that's what I think it's going to get to.
It's really efficient.
You know, it's like all this like weird like robot
stuff. We have robot
stuff.
Dogs. Yeah. We had those for a while.
They've got vacuum cleaner thing that like
a Roomba
that cleans like rooms and stuff. My only problem is this, like
Buster had sex with that in Arrested Development.
Did he really?
Yeah, yes.
I must have missed that episode.
It was coming out
Lucille
of the
came
sheets.
In and was coming out of the sheets.
Oh. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Is like it's like it won't take long for us to start abusing them, and we already are.
This is the AI paradigm, right?
Yeah. This is what I'm freaked out about. Is that like we'll invent it and we'll keep going. It's I can't remember what's like, it's like, there's a fancy name for it. It's like the point of no return with artificial intelligence. It's like, we'll get to a point and somebody will accidentally crack it and then it's over. Like you can't go back once you like open that can of worms. And the idea is just like, right now it's easy. You know, the second my toaster wants something, it's going in the bathtub. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't have to worry about my toaster, but it's like when we start inventing like exoskeleton suits and like animatronic things that move, and it's like, we're done, you know? And that's the shit I'm talking about. It's like that and nanotechnology are like my two, like, somebody fucks it up, we're done.
See, I think we've had this discussion a couple times. I am not worried about the rise of machines. If you want to plug me into the Matrix and give me a dream life and I don't know that I'm sitting in a bathtub, no, you know what? Fuck it. You want me to sit in a bathtub all day and live a fantasy life? I don't see the problem with that. And you want your little crab monsters to run around to destroy Earth?
Yeah.
It's in between that or wearing dirty clothes and dancing to rave music.
Right.
It's like, plug me into the thing in. I'm taking the blue pill. But you know what? I think that's part of the generation gap, because I grew up with Star Wars, where the robots were getting you out of jail.
They were helpful.
And sweet, and they had British accents, and they were helpful. And then you grew up with Terminator.
That's what I'm saying. You grew up with a protocol droid. I grew up with 2000s or whatever it's called. It's like, my robot is a skeleton that's coming to kill me. Yours is a guy who translates everything.
Or yours is a puddle that just keeps turning into a knife.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't, you know, I think T2 was the first, that was the second Terminator, right? That was like the first big movie I saw in theaters.
That was rated R.
First big movie I snuck into in theaters.
You're like, and it's like, that has nothing to do with it.
Right. And it was just like blown away. I was like, holy shit, this is gonna happen.
But it scarred you for life, obviously.
It did, because it's like nanotechnology.
That's why they rated it R. It wasn't that violent.
You know what? They need to, you know, they have like, I don't know if they still have DARE or whatever. I'm sure they have programs like it where it's like, keep kids off drugs, anti-bullying.
Keep them off Terminator.
They should have had like a don't sneak into R-rated movies when you're a kid fucking seminar in school.
This is
because they didn't tell me that. They were like, don't do drugs. I'm like, okay, I won't do drugs. But they didn't say anything about not sneaking into Terminator 2 when you're, you know,
and
eight
now
or
you
whatever.
Have a dystopic worldview. That's so sad.
Yeah, see? They really destroyed, like, I'm really just convinced it's like, as soon as they get to the point, it's like, it's all downhill, baby.
Did the drug ads work?
No. Yes and no. They worked in the sense where it's like, all right, drugs are bad. And I was really, I was in a really sheltered grade school growing up. And then you go to like high school. And I wanted to go to STAG, which is like a public school. And my mom's like, yo, you can't go to Stag. You have to go to Marist because Stag is a haven of drug dealers and rapists because, like, it's a public school.
What kind of high school has rapists in it? That's terrible. I don't know.
Public high school. My mom was very
apparently the like, drug dealers are letting them in.
Right.
Rapists probably do drugs.
Probably. But it's the same, you know, group of people, maybe.
They're just looking to feel better for a short time.
Right. Well, all my friends short-term went thing. To...
They want
to
feel powerful.
All my friends went to Stag, and I went to Marist. And I went to art college, right? I saw more drugs in Marist than I saw at, like, art college in the city downtown. And I was like, and we sent me to a Catholic school. Why? And there were less drugs at Stag. Like, there was a kid snorting coke off a urinal.
Oh,
and
my God.
And it's like, what am I?
That's not even clean.
And I was, like, 14. And I'd never heard of drugs. I didn't know how drugs worked. Like, I was in a really backwards grade school that didn't prepare us at all.
Is this kind of asthma medication that he uses that's really fancy?
I don't know.
It's a good thing you had those ads.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So you had the ads, and you're like, okay, drugs are bad. And then you kind of, like, go to college, you grow up, and you try to, it's like, all right, I'll decide which drugs are crazy for me. Like, I'm not going to do, like, cocaine or something. But then it's like, oh, a little pot, you know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you just kind of figure out for yourself, like, what works and what doesn't, I think.
Well, I have to say, the ads, too, of my generation were definitely not that effective, because all I ever did was watch them going, wow, I really want eggs now.
Eggs.
You know, I was just like, they make this egg look so good. I mean, it doesn't really make me feel bad about drugs. It just makes me want eggs. Like,
right.
This is completely
my favorite ads were the anti-smoking ads in comic books in the 90s. You ever see those?
No.
They're these weird collages that make no sense at all.
Oh, yeah.
And the headline says, tobacco is wacko if you're a teen.
Yeah.
So you can immediately see that the client came back in the second round and was like, put if you're a teen. What we found out, I think you and I were having this discussion. What we found out is Philip Morris paid for those ads.
Yeah.
So they made them as confusing as possible.
It's like the real life thank you for smoking. Yeah.
Yes, they tried to make it not work. They went out of their way to make it not work because by law they had to do anti-smoking ads for kids. And they were like, we'll do the worst job possible.
Yeah.
So that
people
message
just
can't
go, I don't
through.
Know how to feel. It's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just going to listen to my friend who's smoking.
I guess.
And looking really cool.
Yeah.
They do
and sneak
cool.
into Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, they can have those electronic cigarettes. They can have some of the feeling of looking sort of cool, although it's really still less cool.
Yeah, those are kind of weird. I've seen Stu and
they
Matt
look like
those.
Methadone addicts to me.
They're a little
it's
strange.
Like this weird halfway patch
it's
they're
just,
using.
Just smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
We do not condone smoking cigarettes on this podcast.
No, I don't smoke at all.
No.
I never did. I always hated it. My mom used to chain smoke when I was a kid, and I just remember there being clouds in the family room when I came in, and I remember like coughing a lot when I was a kid. And I have a lot of allergies anyway, so like when I'm outside in the summer, like I get clogged up, so that would be on top of it. So I never had any burden. I had other temptations.
Yeah.
I followed those.
Right. I ran after those.
Smoking was never a part of that.
Now, do you think, like, technology can be, like, people are just, like, always, like, the
people
next
are addicted.
Big thing?
Yeah, people
I think
are
so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, like,
I mean,
I said,
psychological.
Like,
it's not physical, but...
Yeah, I don't think it's, like...
People used to have addictions to computer solitaire, right? And now there's so many other things. People can be addicted to internet porn. They can be addicted to checking their email all the time.
Facebook. I mean,
yeah, they said there's, an endorphin rush when you get an email or when you get an instant message of, like... It's like the same feeling. It's like this. It's like feeling like knowing someone loves you. You like that just quick warm feeling.
Someone
of like,
cares about me. They're contacting me.
Yeah,
even if it's just really some spam person or J.Crew.
And you can get like totally
or like Facebook notifications. People are just like constantly checking.
Look how many friends I have.
Yeah, it's
totally
weird.
Addicted to that. And you know what? I think Twitter is the most addicted of them all because not everybody does it this way. But the way I run my Facebook is there are people I actually have to know. If you add me on Facebook and we haven't met, I'm not going to add you.
Yeah, if I don't know you, I'm not
adding. But Twitter, I'll add anybody I like. Yeah. And then you're like, then you can actually engage in conversations with your heroes and they acknowledge you. I was on yesterday. I had a 15-minute discussion on the Beatles with Jam de Matisse.
I don't know who that is.
Jam de Matisse wrote Justice League International.
Okay.
The Beatles were a very popular English
band. I know who the Beatles are. I don't. My cultural vacuum isn't that tiny.
Yeah, but he wrote Craven's Last Hunt.
Oh, there
He's written a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But he was just talking about the Beatles, and I was like, hey, you know, and I mentioned something, and then we're talking for 10 minutes.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, this wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll never bump into this guy at like a bar or something, you know?
Yeah. Or, you know, I check my Twitter feed, and Steve Martin is telling me jokes.
Yeah.
And it's there. I feel like that's, right now, for me, that's the most seductive. I think we're going to move on from it because that 140 characters, I think, was designed for early cell phones. of like
it'll get expanded.
It's a texting kind of medium. I think something's going to take it over.
But I think the fact that it's so Instagram easy makes it or like easy to like also do it frequently. So that's the one thing. Because like to write a blog post and write a good one takes time.
Yeah,
and you can't do, you know, dozens of them a day. But like, you know, and I have one girl.
We had a blog bubble in the mid-2000s. Like everybody had a blog.
Yeah, but there's people who can do literally. I know one girl who's tweeted over 10,000 times in a year, and she has a full-time job. You know, and it's like, but
it's easy, right? Because it's basically just you know six sentences and you're done or whatever.
Well, basically the way you do Facebook status updates.
Yeah,
those are all basically tweets because you like one line of like, I'm at the store, I'm home, I'm drinking rum. You know. That's mostly what people are doing on Twitter.
Okay.
And that's what people can't understand. It's like, it's one thing if I'm following Steve Martin and Albert Brooks and Stan Lee and William Shatner and people that are interesting and have a history of doing stuff.
Yeah.
But there's millions of people on Twitter and most of them are just eating.
Yeah.
Like
they're waiting in line at the store. Why is the line at Best Buy so long? Like,
It's like, I don't know who follows that.
Yeah, that's
me. I mean, I have less than 200 followers and I'm writing jokes. I don't know who's following the people that are like, I like eggs.
Yeah.
And they're writing that five times a day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, see, that's what I don't understand. It's like the Instagram where it's like, I'm going to post my lunch. And it's like, I don't give a shit what anyone on the planet is eating for lunch unless you're eating like...
Unless it's you.
Yeah, unless it's me or you're eating lion or something. You know what I mean? It's like, unless every meal you have is an exotic animal, I don't care.
Well, I think that's the biggest problem with technology now is this inflated sense of entitlement. Because it's interactive, because everything about it is designed... Unlike television, which is passive, where we're saying, buy this product, watch my show, you know, listen to this joke, listen to this band, watch this car blow up, and you're passive. Everything digital is, what do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think? You're in charge. You want to do this? Yeah. Click on this, and we'll do this together.
That's exactly what this podcast is, where it's basically like, hey, we're going to say a bunch of things, because I had explained it to my brother. He's like, well, what do you do? And it's like, well, we just sit in a room, we record everything. He's like, so I'm listening to a conversation I can't participate in. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, why? And it's just like, well, because I'm saying things and John's saying things, we have different points of views. And he's like, okay, I kind of get it. But then it's like, you get people who don't get it. And then people actually like, you know, like my sister and her girlfriend who actually listen to it. And then, you know, because we're making jokes and, they, you know, we're agreeing with some of the same things they'd say.
And then they have enough conversations about it where we have them on last week.
Right. And that's what I think. It's just
like. Well, what this really is, the way you explain it to people, it's a radio show, but no station wants it.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know, there you go.
We're making a talk radio show, and we're just putting it out ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that's something, too, where it's just like everyone can have, like you said, a blog, a podcast. Yeah. You can have a YouTube channel. Like, isn't this, and I didn't know this, somebody explains, this is how Justin Bieber, they said, got big. He was like YouTube.
That's how Andy Samberg got on Saturday Night Live.
Really?
He was one of the first guys on YouTube.
Yeah, and see, that's all it takes is like, you know, it's everything Adele, is on
Adele was on YouTube.
Really?
And then she did the last James Bond theme and won an Oscar for it.
But it also seems like that's all it takes, but come on, there's millions of people.
That's what I'm saying.
The competition is so much wider.
So either the quality has got to be so great, or you have to be incredibly lucky, or you have to be really connected still.
Yeah.
And those were all the things that it took to be famous before.
Okay, that's actually really good.
Yeah, what it is now is just the platform is a lot broader. Yeah. Whereas as a comedian, you're doing open mics in the back of coffee houses.
Right.
But you can put that same 5 minutes on YouTube and then
reach a greater audience.
Yeah, instead of the 15 people that are in that back room, there's possibly millions of people.
Yeah.
You know, but who's going to find it? And you never know. I mean, I have... The videos I have, and most of them I did when I was doing stand-up, I have one video that has 500,000 hits. I have another video that has 130 hits.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like I just tossed off one and was like, this stinks, but I'll put it on here. And the other thing I cared about, you never know what's
going to hit.
And companies still don't know.
And people try to game the system, but it's not that easy to do.
Yeah, I don't think
because there's no real rules to it.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest benefit and detriment of the internet.
It's I think like
a landscape.
It's like breaking. They say the same thing about breaking the comics. It's like, you know, there's 1,000 ways to do it, but no way works twice. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like breaking out of prison. It's the same way. It's like you want to break out of prison. There's 1,000,000 ways to break out of prison. No and way is going to work.
They
more
shut
than
that
once.
Door behind.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. This guy tunneled out. Now they're bricking up. You know, cement.
The greatest thing in the world
this week. Okay, so this week, I'll stick to technology a little bit. There's a new, on the Comixology app, DC just put Batman 66, which is, they're doing a comic book based on the old Adam West TV show. So they draw Batman like Adam West, and they draw the Riddler like Frank Gorshin, and the Joker like Cesar Romero, and it's like cute and campy. It's not as scary where in Batman now the Joker's cutting people's faces off. So I downloaded it, it was 99 cents, And so I figured, okay, they'll just scan the pages. What most of them do is they scan the pages, and you'll double tap on a panel, and then that panel takes up the whole screen, and then you swipe panel. You can swipe page to page or panel by panel. What they're doing now, and I've heard Batman's not the first, but this is my first experience with it, they made it more of an interactive animated experience where you'll have the image, and as you'll swipe it, each word balloon will come up in sequence, and then the sound effects will come up. And maybe there's a slight animation where there's a second image on top of the image where Batman's in the left of the screen, and you swipe, and then he's in the right of the screen, but it's the same panel. And I read it to Ben, and it was a great experience for both of us because it... I hate the motion comics they do,
yeah.
Where they take, I don't know, Lane, if you've seen these, they'll take a comic book, they'll take all the images of comic book, and they'll do CG animation, they'll do like a lip sync, and then they'll make them move a little bit.
But not that much, they're still in the same frame.
Yeah.
My nephew put it best, he's like, this is stupid, because it's not a comic book, and it's not a cartoon.
It's kind of like a comic book filled with lenticulars.
Yeah. It's not a comic book anymore, and what it is a really bad cartoon. And I haven't, and there's been four or five, and they did Watchmen that way, they did Iron Man that way, they did X-Men. I haven't liked any of them. And I felt like this swung that pendulum the other way, where it's like, this is how you make a comic book come to life.
Yeah, we know it's a comic. We're not going to try to animate
it. We're going to use the comic, but make it a lot less static and a lot more interactive. And we couldn't put it down. It was like, it probably turned out to be about 10 pages in print. It was fairly short. Mm-hmm. But it was 95 separate images from just animating word balloons and bringing stuff up.
Yeah.
And Ben and I flew through it. Like, he couldn't wait to swipe to see what happened next.
Yeah.
And that was the first time. They've been talking about digital comics for years now. Like, we finally have a distribution model where Comixology has an app that can give you Marvel and DC comics straight to your iPad, which they found is tapping into an audience that's not going to comic stores, so it's not cannibalizing itself. But I feel like now we finally have an engine that's making the digital comic not a worse experience than the print comic.
Yeah. There's a lot of crazy hybrid stuff that, like, say, Adobe is doing, too, with tablet magazines, where they can really make them much more interactive, like websites, and they got videos and everything. You can scroll in different ways. There's going to be a lot that changes, I think.
Yeah,
so that's me.
I don't have anything technology-related, because I don't know anything about technology, but I...
you learned a lot today.
I did learn a lot today. The world is a scarier place than I imagined. but there is... Marvel's been putting out this... Part of their Marvel Now, they put out this Galactic Guardians, or Guardians of the Galaxy, and these are characters from the 70s that were always kind of, like, kooky, lame future Avengers that I never really liked.
Yeah, I never liked them.
And then they redid them in the late 2000s or the early 2000s when they did, like, Annihilation and all that stuff, and they added, like, a raccoon and a tree guy. And that was still... that was silly, so I never watched that. But now they did this new one where they put Iron Man on the team, so I'm like, all right, I'll try it out. And it's awesome. It's like Iron Man pretty much joins future Avengers, so he's way out of his wheelhouse where they're running into technology he has no idea how to deal with.
Like you.
Yeah, just like me. So I can relate to that. And so he's out in space teaming up with all these, and it's just like swashbuckling, like, space pirates. It's awesome. And it's basically, so it's him and then on this team or whatever, like I said, of like pseudo Avengers or whatever. And it's leading into Marvel's big event for this year, which is Infinity that Hickman's writing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to bring, like, Thanos back into the Marvel Universe or whatever. And this is supposed to be like a jump off, like, point for it, because Thanos is a cosmic character. These are cosmic characters. And it's basically Iron Man figures, all right, I was on Earth for a while, I was Iron Man, I established the Avengers, Earth's protected from Earth threats. Now I'm going to go into space and figure out how to protect Earth from space threats by teaming up with the Guardians of the Galaxy and meeting this, like, Galactic World Council kind of thing. So it's, like, really, like, sci-fi space exploration type thing. It's like Star Trek meets the Avengers, pretty much.
Yeah, and they're really building up the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So
yeah,
Marvel has a reason to really push the characters.
Absolutely.
And make them a little more
and
known.
And it's selling great. Every issue we've had is sold out, and I've done reorders on everything to get them back in. And we were ordering pretty optimistically on it anyway because of the movie coming out. And it's a book like this probably never would have sold this well, even when they did the reboot that was popular 10 years ago. It's actually kind of staggering. It's blowing a lot of the other Marvel Now books out of the water. It's competing with some of the Avengers books.
Wow.
It's almost selling better than a lot of the Avengers titles. Like, it's actually selling really well. So it's definitely worth checking out. Like I said, we've got at the time this is being recorded, we still have the first issue on the shelf, but who knows how long that'll last.
Elaine?
Well, I guess my recommendation is going to be in a totally different genre, which is the middle-aged lady online game. And basically,
is that the name of it? Middle-aged lady online game?
It should be, basically.
What's it called?
It's called Candy Crush. And almost while I'm playing it, I'm picturing myself picking up kids in an SUV. But it's still perfect. It's like, it's
that
so
should be the game. You drive an SUV around, pick up as many kids
exactly.
as you can.
Yeah.
Give like, them juice boxes.
Exactly. And hope that, you know, basically, but they never yell at you and you're really happy. It's just much better than real life.
Right.
But there's tons of candy. So you're basically playing essentially Bejeweled with these pieces of candy. And that's set up to be so addictive, and that they have all these different levels,
yeah.
all these different awards, and then they have this overarching storyline. So I escaped the poorly named Lemonade Lake, and now I'm like traveling through the Chocolate Mountains, and I'm apparently on level 40 of a game that has over 400 levels, and they just keep getting new.
They'll just keep adding, yeah.
exactly, because they charge you.
That's because it's an app they can keep designing them.
Exactly,
it's like digital crack.
Yeah. So I never got into Farmville or any of this stuff, but I'm like. Fine, you have my number, Candy Crush. I surrender.
Right, I'll give you this one.
Yeah, this is why I don't play games.
I can't
very
do
often.
It.
I got things I got to do. Well, this has been great. Thank you, Elaine, for coming in.
It was a pleasure.
As always, you can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter, which is the official Caffeinated Comics Twitter handle. Like our Facebook page. Leave us a review on iTunes, on the Caffeinated Comics Facebook page, or just on the main website page. There's comments on every posting. And Steven?
Always at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!